We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fight, Thornton and Rebbe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right. No rewind for you today, but Sabres put up 7 last night if you didn't tune into the game. I wasn't expecting that.
It's a little shocking, but certainly very positive in the way that they played.
Call us 803-0550, 888-550-2550 if you want to get in on the conversation. Call us and let us know what you thought about the game last night, the weekend. We had a packed show yesterday. Obviously a lot of guests, we couldn't get a lot of calls in, but if you want to call us about the weekend and the way the Sabres have been playing, I think even from that road trip that they had. They had some good games there. Obviously, the win against Toronto at home on Friday afternoon.
Yep.
I thought that was a winnable game. If you take Frederik Andersen out of the pipe for Toronto, I think you win that game in Toronto. And then you win a game yesterday, Riv, that we talked about. The first thing we said in the morning was, it's going to be hard to carry that emotional high when you're playing the Leafs. And I can't emphasize.
Well, we thought, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's going to be tough to carry that emotional high, because those Leaf games have such a different feel to it. Unless you've played it, you can't experience it. You can be there, you can listen to the crowd, you can witness it, but unless you've actually felt what those games feel like, it's tough. It's tough to comprehend, the emotion that goes into those games. And then you come home against a team that I think, I don't think a lot of people expected much from, and a team that I think could have beaten the Sabres if the Sabres didn't show up and experience that emotional collapse, but I feel like they found a way to continue.
Obviously, when you look at the score last night, 7-1.
Sorry for the long-winded intro.
No, you would have thought that New Jersey has some dangerous players. They have the ability to beat teams. Last night, I mean, there was only one team on the ice. The Sabres did what they wanted. They scored within 2.5 minutes into the game. Then they scored at the 5-minute mark. Then they scored at the 7-minute mark. Then they scored. They were all over.
They were getting it from everyone.
I mean, the goaltender was frustrated. They just had no answer. I mean, definitely you could feel the confidence in the players. They were enjoy. They enjoyed what they were doing. They worked extremely hard. And they were able to put some goals, on the board, which, obviously started by Jack, followed up by Jeff Skinner, who got his 11th. But then you have Connor Sheary. Connor Sheary scores 2. Well, that's good to see from Connor Sheary, because he's had a tougher time finding the net this year.
Can we throw Risto a little love on Jack's goal? I know Jack was wide open in front of the net, but everyone wants to bag on Risto, so I'm going to slide in here and throw him some props. He comes down the boards, on his side, stops the puck with his skate, and then whips a pass.
Well, how is Jack Eichel alone in front of the net? He's the most dangerous guy on both teams, and you're leaving this guy
all alone. I don't think anybody on New Jersey expected Risto to make that play so quickly. I mean, he snapped that puck from number one through traffic. Number two, I think he had a guy pinning him in the corner. So he whips that pass across, and Jack's all alone, and it squeaks in. I don't know how he was left all alone. I just remember seeing Andy Green turn around and see the puck dribble in the net, and you just kind of see his body language like, come on. Like, how does that happen? One, Jack all alone. Two, the puck, you know, trickles in when it didn't necessarily have to. Yeah. But.
Well, you know what? I mean, another positive that you take out of last night, again, when you look at the defense corps, Zach Bogosian played the most minutes on the defense at 18 minutes and 57 seconds. Then it went to Jake McCabe at 18:30. Rasmus Ristolainen only played 17 minutes and 16 seconds. And what I mean by this is,
Well, number one, that's a significant drop off by about 6 minutes from what we've been used
like
to.
Like at minimum 6 minutes. Yeah. And you know what? They've played so much hockey in the past few weeks that this is a really good thing for our defense corps, that they're not playing as many minutes as what they normally would play. You're not running your horses and fatiguing them. You're pacing them really, really well right now. It was a fantastic game, right from start to finish for the Sabres.
Can I tell you Risto's last three games? I love this, the summaries, the game summaries, where they tell you the minutes played and everything of the players' last five games. So his last three games, we'll go back to his last three games, because 3 games ago, and that starts with Toronto. So you have Toronto, Jersey, 19-16, from 24-35 he played against Calgary. So mine, and granted, that was an overtime game too, but 24-35 against Calgary. Then you have 19-16 against Toronto, he picks up an assist, and he's plus three. 19-17, he gets a goal, and he's plus one. Remember, this was our Green Jacket winner last year. Yep. I'm on plus-minus watch for these players since yesterday, especially Scandella. He got another plus last night. And then he played 17-16 last night, picks up another assist, and he's plus two.
You finding a correlation there?
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that less ice time will equate to a point streak, because he officially, you know, he has 3 points in three games. That is considered a point streak.
And he's plus six.
Plus five or plus six or whatever.
Managing ice. And you know what? There's going to be games where Ristolainen is going to be back playing 25 plus minutes a night. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think, you know, with, you know, the coaching staff electing to go with their seven defensemen, I think it's worked well so far. I'm not sure all defensemen in the National Hockey League would like to have seven defensemen dressed every night, but it seems to be working right now.
But you made a very good point, I'll credit you with a very good point. You said that, you know, a lot of hockey and defensemen are like Risto are run wild. I mean, some games 24, 24.
Well, for many years now, Risto has been playing too much hockey. And guess what? He's had to play too much hockey because we have not had the depth. Ristolainen has been run like a thoroughbred horse. He does everything. He's the thoroughbred, but he's like a Clydesdale. He does all the heavy lifting. And for years and years, he's been put in a very difficult situation. I find, and I think everybody would agree, that the team right now is much stronger than it's ever been in many, many years here in Buffalo. You have Ristolainen, who does not have to play 25, 27, 28 minutes a night. He is now in a position that he's able to kind of, you know, play real strong, important minutes for the hockey team. He's still getting the tough matchups, but we also have a lot more depth in this lineup than on defense especially. This defense corps is a really, really good group. And we don't even have Rasmus Dahlin in the lineup right now, who is a young up and coming stud. This is a really good group on the back end, and we have seven guys right now, even without Rasmus Dahlin in our lineup. This back end has been very, very strong this year for the Sabres. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Moving forward in the next coming weeks, we've talked about this many, many times on the show, that Jason Botterill is very active in looking I know most GMs are always looking and always active, but Jason Bottrell is very active. He's looking. He's not just going to pull a trigger for the sake of pulling a trigger. He's going to make a trade that is going to help this team, not only now, but for the future. And we have defense right now that other teams would love to have. Love to have. We were talking to Ken Danico yesterday. Ken Danico, I would love to have one of your defense ribs. They
actually
need
a pretty
defense.
Good impression
there's a lot of teams.
We'll take Scandella off your hands.
That's right.
He does. He even said when Scandella came on, he said, I know a team that would love to have him.
Love to have him. Love to have him. And I know that there's going to be teams out there, especially as the season winds down. There's going to be teams out there that are definitely going to want a piece of the Sabres' defense.
So how are we feeling today? I mean, how's everybody feeling today? I mean, one of the struggles I have with doing what we do, and it's not even a struggle. It's just, you listen and you hear. There's a lot of people that are never happy. They're never happy, and sometimes they're right, and sometimes it's not necessarily warranted, but. The Sabres are third in the Atlantic Division. I mean, things considered, right? I mean, they had a really tough stretch of 10 games.
Well, the Sabres are to blame for that, right? The Sabres are to blame for that because they give us what we want. This is a really good hockey team when they're playing together and playing well, when they've got the good goaltending and they've got their defense core that is playing a real strong brand of defensive hockey and moving the puck quick to the forwards. And then when you have that forward group that plays with that tenacious and a lot of players in front of the net and the power play's working, when you have that, you are a true believer in what the Sabres are all about. But then there's also times when they fall off and then you start to scratch your head and you really, is this the old Sabres or what's happening here? So you're a little bit unclear with what you're getting. I think people are generally right now with this season that the Sabres are having, this is not the same Sabres that we've had in the past. This is a really good group. I think we have a deeper defense core than what we've ever had. In 10 years, there's not this defense core. You have Linus Allmark. Right now, each and every game seems to be creeping into grabbing and wanting to solidify the number one position as the goaltender on this team. Not sure he's done it yet, but he's certainly working towards it. And you know what? Our forwards right now, Jack Eichel.
Another three.
What
3 points?
I mean, let's just yes, okay, 3 points. But it's so much more than just the points. I know points are big, especially when you're talking about an elite player, and his job is to produce points. That's why he's getting paid $10 million.
But there are other responsibilities.
But there's other responsibilities. He seems, and I'm not even talking on the ice. I'm talking about in the times of frustration when things aren't going well for the team. I believe that listening and watching his interviews, that he is a more mature young man and has really grown into himself more than I've ever seen before. And this is what I love, the evolution of Jack Eichel. I mean, he was always a very good high-end player, a top-end player in the league. But he is working his way into being in the elite category of players in the National Hockey League.
Well, I asked Danico that yesterday. How is he viewed from the outside? Because we watch him every game. I mean, like when Taylor Hall had his ridiculous season a few years ago, I mean, we all watch kind of from afar on the highlight reel, and you didn't really see what else he was doing. But we've seen Jack on a nightly basis for what year is it now? Five?
Yep.
And
year five.
The growth of his game is incredible. But the thing that I find most fascinating is you don't just say at training camp, I worked on becoming a more elite scorer in this league, because he's already was an elite point producer.
Yep.
Correct? Like, there's no question.
When you're putting up 80 points a year, you're over a point a game.
He's on pace for 111 points right now. And how does a guy go and focus his offseason? Teddy Purcell tweeting out about watching Jack shoot the puck and everything. I mean, pucks are just finding. That's what goal scorers get. Like, people don't understand. They're like, well, he beat Hutchinson the other night 5-hole because he's got a wicked shot. He scored that goal last night. It squeaked through. You know why? Because he has a wicked shot.
Yeah.
Like, those pucks don't squeak through for guys that have, you know, muffins or don't necessarily have the right kind of, like, the right shot, period. Yeah. I mean, but he's worked on that. And I don't understand how a player can just take the reins like that. And he's done that this year.
Yeah, what's very exciting about Jack is, number one, he is truly, this year is the first year of all the years that Jack's played in the league. I would be the first one to say that he has now moved in and worked his way in to being an elite player in this league. That's the first and foremost.
So you feel like there are stages and steps of players into their stardom. And
question. You don't just come into the league, unless you're Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin back in the day and McDavid. They after year one, were put in the
league
category.
I mean, Patrick Kane stepped in the league and won Rookie of the Year, but I mean, it was a good year.
Yeah, I think he had 78 points that year.
Yeah, maybe less than
That's not elite status.
That's not superstar rookie year. Yes. He is an elite superstar, no question. Yes. He's for many years. Yeah, for lots of years.
I could have an argument with anybody on the planet to say that Jack is as good as 99% of players in the National Hockey League right now. And the nice thing about Jack is he not only is he's controlling the game when he's on the ice. It seems like the majority of the play is run through him because he's playing at such a high level. The speed, he's a shooter. They don't know whether to sit back because he used to be a 75% passer, 25% shooter. Now they don't know what to do with him because he's so fast, so long, his release is so quick. My biggest thing is the players that he's playing with. Victor Olofsson right now is playing a really strong brand of hockey. He's getting better and better and better each and every game that he plays. Obviously, Jack has a lot to do with that. I mean, this is a really good sign. Like, I mean, when things go well for the Sabres, you can see a lot of very positive things.
How about the plus minus? I mean, like, we've never sat here and had conversations about plus minus and said that it's good or bad, and it can be it's a deceiving stat. I mean, you know, Risto's minus 41 last year. That's not deceiving. That's a really tough year. But you look at Jack. I mean, over the course of his career, minus 11 last year, minus 25, minus 13, minus 6. He's a plus 9 right now. I mean, I don't put emphasis on it to the standpoint of, oh, that means he's like way better defensively. But I put a lot of emphasis on such a swing like that to say maybe there is a case to be made for.
Do you know how many minuses last
year? I'm sure there are statistics
year?
that support that theory. I mean,
yep. How many minuses last year was Jack on for when we pulled the goaltender and we got scored on?
Yeah, there are those
seven,
two. Those
eight,
ones suck.
You know, like, I mean, those suck. They add up. They just pile on to your minus category. Listen, I mean, there's the way I look at the Sabres is I don't think you can certainly love what they're doing right now, but you always want more. And when you go back a couple weeks when the team was struggling, there was holes in the lineup. There are still holes in the lineup. Even after a 7-1 win, I think there's still holes that you can make stronger. And I think Jason Bottrell is certainly not taking his foot off the gas pedal. He is still going to be active to try and find the pieces that will make this team stronger. I don't think that he's changed his mind after three games, the two games against Toronto and this one against New Jersey, where he's now, you know, lifting up his hand saying, well, I don't have to do anything. Our team's perfect again.
Let me ask you a real question. And I mean, from the standpoint of real, like from being there, what did you play? What was your ice time? Like low 20s? You played over 20 minutes a night, did you not?
Yeah. So for the course of my entire career, so the 920 some games, I think I was, I averaged
923. You know the number.
19, 15, I think it was.
Okay.
19.
How do you think? How do you think it goes over? Winning cures everything, but everybody wants to play more. So yes. how does it go over? You know, ice time being taken away, given in other areas for the best interest of the team. Because let's be honest, we're only human.
Yes. So. Like to go.
I'm not asking. I'm not looking for you to say there's a controversy or anything.
No.
I just. It's got to be hard.
So
for players to swallow their pride.
So we have 7D.
We do. We have been playing.
Bogosian played 18:57. He's played exceptionally well, by the way. If no one's watching number four, Zach Bogosian, he is.
Well, he looks like a different player without the
beard. He is very, very good for this hockey team right now. He's very good, but let's not
well,
go
you
there.
Said,
let's
you
not
said
go
when
there
he came
yet.
Back, you
I just
said
want to
exactly
make a point
what we
here.
Needed. What? Go ahead.
So you have Zach Bogosian who played 19 minutes. That's kind of what he normally played. He might be up around 20, maybe a 21, depending on the game, but he's around 19 minutes. Scandella played 17:21. It's kind of what he normally plays. Jokke Haju played 16:42. That's normally where he should be. McCabe played 18:30. That's normally where he should be. He might be a little bit higher into the 20-21s because he's getting the big minutes penalty kill, but he's also locking in against the other team's top lines. Colin Miller played 15:35. That's where he should be. Ristolainen or Montour played 14:25. He is probably a player that is losing minutes because of the seven-man rotation. But Ristolainen played 17:16. That is way, way under what he normally would play. The last couple games against Toronto, you said that he was in around 19.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ristolainen's losing probably 4 to 5 minutes a game with the new player coming in.
He was 19 and then
I will tell you
19,
this.
17, 19, 16.
You will
Toronto
not have
games.
Seven defensemen in your lineup the entire year. So the way I look at it is, Risto certainly should not be upset with this situation. He's playing less minutes, but it is a very, very long season. And if you can still keep yourself in the game, obviously he's still playing a lot of minutes, but if you can use this segment of games where you're not run ragged and being worn down, because there are so many games coming up. They're playing every second night for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And if you can use this to play top-end minutes and not be fatigued, this is a great thing for Rasmus Ristolainen and a few players, Montour, that are maybe getting less minutes than what they normally would. But it seems to be working right now. I'm sure Ralph Krueger is very pleased. But then again, you know as well as I do that he's going to have to make a tough decision in a couple weeks from now when Dahlin comes back, because someone has to come out of the lineup.
If I'm watching this show right now and I'm a player in that locker room and I had three assists and we only talked about Jack, I'd be pretty upset too. Johan Larsson. How about Johan Larsson? I was happy for Johan Larsson last night picking up 3 points. He had three assists.
It's amazing about Johan Larsson. I think he knows what his job is. He knows that he is a fourth line center. He knows that he is
there to kill penalties. He's the center of the Larsson line, if you will. And you should.
Okay.
Come on, I take that back.
I take that back. You're definitely right. We've changed all that, but you get what I'm saying. He understands his role on the team. But we're in a situation that a little change up here and there is always good. And I remember reading a lot of the media, a lot of media's thoughts about Johan Larsson centering, who is it, Connor Sheary and Skinner. And, you know, they didn't like it. They were not very happy with seeing our top goal scorer in Jeff Skinner playing on a line with Larsson. Well,
it's easier to assume it won't work.
Absolutely.
But it's great when proven wrong.
Well, you know, listen, it's a short period of time. I think Johan Larsson, before he came to the National Hockey League, was not just a defender. He was a skilled hockey player. He has been a very skilled player his entire life. He's just his job skill set right now that best suits what he does in the National Hockey League is a shutdown centerman. He's great at killing penalties. And listen, I mean, they've used him in a different look right now, and it's worked. It's worked. That line with Skinner and Sheary and Larson has looked very strong. You have a Skinner who's got a tremendous amount of skill, and he is just a hungry little badger that he knows exactly where to be on the ice to get himself in these situations of scoring goals.
It's incredible.
He's just a pure goal scorer.
See when he doesn't score, like where his creative mind goes to try and score. I mean, yeah. Like from a short side shot, like there was a play last night where he tried to stuff it in short side, and you're thinking like I would never even think to do that. Like I probably would have tried for the pass out front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he tries, like it's amazing to watch. And I think it's sometimes
it's been a real nice line right now. They seem to be playing well together. You know, Connor Sheary had a real nice game last night.
Rasmus Asplund picked up his first. I mean, let's be honest. That's a shooter's. That's a goal scorer's goal right there.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, you're obviously going to stick with what's working. And the last couple games, this team seems like they have some spark in their game, and it's been really, really nice to watch.
I think that win over the Leafs was huge, Riv. I think that emotional
big confidence builder, right?
Huge. You're down 2-0 with or without Mitch Marner. I don't care. Hutchinson in net or not. Those are NHL goals they scored. Those are big time goals. Those weren't Domingue letting in one off the back, off the knob of his stick. And I mean, the Sabres beat the Leafs in that game, and everyone wants to use Hutchinson as an example. And yes, Anderson was amazing. But you're telling me the Victor Olofsson goal was a gimme? You're telling me Jeff Skinner's rifling shot over Hutchinson's glove side or Eichel's five hole shot? Come on. Yeah. Give me a break. Those are goal scorers. All goal scorers with wicked shots. I say wicked shots.
Yeah.
Scoring goals from point blank spots. I mean, I back to my point, I thought that game was huge for the morale. I thought being down 2-0 and them coming back, you look for little turning points in a season. We always talk about, even in bad games, you look for things to build off of. And then you look for things in huge games, emotional games that actually have maybe more meaning than just the score or a quick rivalry in the standings.
Yeah,
I think that could be a turning point for this team, a belief that, you know, they could have even won that game on Saturday. So we got to go to break. When we come back, we want your calls, and we're going to do Riv's rapid recap. What's going to be in that? A whole bunch of things about the Sabres. We want you to get involved. You can call us 803-0550, 888-550-2550. What are you looking for this team going on the road? What have you seen so far? What kind of player do you want to see them acquire? All of it right here. We're taking your calls. You can tweet us at the Instigators or at Craig Revay 52. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
We now welcome to the ice Buffalo Sabres owners Terry and Kim Pegula, who will present the Knox families with gold pucks commemorating 50 years of NHL hockey in Buffalo.
Ristolainen pinches. Gets right in front of the net. The shot right on. Eichel scores! Domingue stopped Eichel with the first whack. He didn't stop him with the second. And Buffalo has the lead. it in over the line. It's kept in there. Skinner with a shot. He's scored. Two good chances. Two good goals. 2-0 Buffalo. Brought in over the line by Skinner. Skinner on his backhand. Let her go. To make the save, the rebound. They score. Buffalo coming right back. Connor Sherry. And the Sabres have a 3-0 lead. Up on the wing. Racing after it. Sherry. Sherry took a shot. They score. Deming had a glove on it. Couldn't corral it. And it went off the glove. Bounced up in the air. And into the net. 4-0 Buffalo. Sabres keeping it into Middlestad. Middlestad out in front. There's a shot. They score again. This time, Rasmus Asplund. He just wound up and ripped it home to give Buffalo a 5-0 lead. Flipped in over the line again by Eichel. Dropped it back. Montwith is a shot. And he scores. Wow. Victor Olsen, he just hammered it. Right, I got it in front, and Olsen couldn't get a stick on it. There's a score! Henry Jokiharju, he gunned that one home, and Buffalo has its 6-goal lead back again. 7-1.
Well, if you're not tuning in on TV, make sure you DVR the show too, eh? Like, we're on TV on MSG, and you can see those highlights. And some big shots.
I love goals. I'm not going to lie.
Big shots. Well, speaking of goals, this doesn't really have much to do with goals, but John Buchigross, Buchimane, at Buchigross, he's been on the show, tweeted, I don't know, like an hour ago, he said, Jake Eichel points per game, and then he corrected Jake. Obviously, we all know the issues with spell check. But basically, he's saying his points per game at age 19, 0.69, 20.93, 21.96, 22, 1.06, and 23. Do you know what his points per game is right now? It's 1 point something.
1.3.
No. Higher.
1.36.
Exactly. Did JJ just say that in your ear?
No.
Yeah, he did. Did he tell you that?
No.
All right, so 1.36.
You told me that he was on pace for 111 points, so, I'm watch. Trying to...
Look, you tell me you I'm can't remember calculate. What you had for dinner last night. I can't remember you remembered a simple comment like that. I guess if it's a hockey
Within
fact.
An hour, I'm good to go.
That's the...
anything past that, the time it's, frame of... if it's not written down, it is gone.
So solid recall within an hour. Okay,
yep.
All right. So we'll call you 1 hour, Craig. Moving on. We'll move on to Riv's Rapid Recap here. Riv's Rapid Recap brought to you by Craig Rive. Why are you called Riv's if you claim your name is Rive? Shouldn't it be Reeves? Reeves Rapid Recap. What has been the Sabres' key to... Oh, we have an intro. And there is a Top Gun 2 coming out. Did you know this?
Yes.
We did show that, I think... Director Jeff many, sent out the email.
How many characters from the old one?
I think how many did I see? Well, definitely Tom Cruise, right? Maverick.
Yep. What about his girlfriend?
I don't think I saw Kelly McGillis in there. That is her name. Shelley McGillis? Shelley? Kelly McGillis? One of them, something like that? McGillis?
Is Iceman in it?
Is Val Kilmer in it? I don't recall, but I believe, and everyone's going to be amazed that I know this name, Tom Skerritt.
Who's that?
What? Tom, I think, was he still in it? Anyone? Bueller? I think Tom Skerritt was the, give me a call, I'll fly with you. Remember the guy that had the Top Gun hat? He went to see him at the base at the end of the movie.
Oh, older guy, man. Yeah.
Really distinguished looking.
Yes. Know who
Buzz
you're talking
cut.
About, but yeah, okay.
And then what about the...
I'm excited for that.
You'll be flying a cargo ship full of... remember?
No. Nope.
Cargo plane? You remember the ball?
I haven't seen
guy?
That movie. I have not seen Top Gun.
Admiral, maybe? Would he be an admiral in the Navy?
It has to be 20 years. Like,
really?
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that's on, and I think it's, you know, those movies for guys who like movies. It's just such an amazing movie. It's up there.
It's a movie for guys, for guys that like movies.
Yeah, it's up there as one of the greatest movies of all time. Okay. Anyway, so this Riz Rapid Recap has gone from it was the song, right? I mean, the music sparks everything. What's been the Sabres' key to getting consistent secondary scoring? I have an answer for you, but it's your recap.
I'm going to ask you. I'll pass this. I'm going to pass on this.
But it's the Riv's Rapid Recap. Maybe I just want to play. I don't know. Someone tweeted in Marcus Johansson. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying he's lighting the lamp, but I'm going to say that he's added a nice calming influence, has he not, to the rest of the squad?
Yeah, he has.
You seem so puzzled. Do you not like that response?
I don't know.
I just wanted to find a way to get Marcus Johansson.
I'm asking the question. Are we talking about last night's game, or are we talking about this season? Because there hasn't been secondary scoring.
Well, there you go. Riz Rapid Recap. What do you mean secondary scoring? You saw it in the Toronto game at home. And what happened before that? Who'd they play?
Jack Eichel has been
basically the only guy
the guy that has produced the offense for this team.
Okay.
I'm certainly pleased with what I've seen in the last three games.
Well, that one backfired.
And we're working. These guys are working. They're getting better. I mean, I love the composure. Even when things weren't going well, they seem like their team is really tight and they're going to work their way out of it. And they have done that. They're playing some better hockey. Things don't get easier. They're heading out to out west. Going to have a new head coach. Or an interim head coach in Calgary, that they want to start playing well and picking up their game. They have a good hockey team out there. That's not going to be an easy game. Vancouver and Edmonton are playing very well right now. They're playing very, very good hockey. So none of those games on this West swing are going to be easy. But I truly believe, with what I've seen and the trend and what the Sabres are doing, they can beat anybody.
That's the league, isn't it? I was saying this before, and I was trying to argue a point. I just couldn't articulate it. And I was basically just saying, I don't know if the Atlantic Division is weak or the parity of the league
What are you talking about here?
Well, I haven't even been able to finish yet. What do you mean? I mean, I guess maybe that was the.
You just said the Atlantic's weak.
Is it weak? I haven't. Or is the parity just that much better? And I mean, parity, like, is everyone good or are all teams struggling? Because what do you mean? What do you mean? Where's the question mark there, Riv? I asked, is the Atlantic weak? Washington, the Islanders, and Philly. They're pretty good teams. Like, Philly hasn't been in that conversation of a good team over the years, but they've been a team that's always kind of been a question mark as to why they're not good, and now they're actually good, so I'm going to believe
that.
Do we have
teams right now that are just grossly underachieving?
Well, that question would be Tampa Bay. But are they grossly underachieving, or did Columbus expose how to play them? I'm not saying they won't
What did Columbus do? What did Columbus...
They played them a lot harder and a lot...
So that's the game plan, just play them harder?
Why couldn't it be? Why could that not be the philosophy? Play them harder.
What do you mean play
them
harder?
They were up 3-0 in the first.
What do you mean play them harder?
More physical.
Most teams in the league don't have the ability to play more physical because they're not physical
themselves.
I thought
Columbus last year.
That was a team that was put together that had grit. They also had the high-end talent. They had everything going for them.
Okay, maybe they. I don't know. You asked me a question. I'm trying to come up with solutions here, and I'm not giving you. I'm not telling you that because I'm sitting here. I have all the answers. Like I say, maybe
you kind of do. You kind of do that a lot. You kind of do that a lot.
What, act like I have all the answers?
Yes.
Well, someone's got.
Someone's
got to
put you in
someone's
your place.
Someone's got to be right around here from time to time.
So, all right.
How can you tell me I'm wrong? I mean, maybe they don't intimidate anybody anymore. Maybe players go and take runs at Kucherov, and they go and take runs at Stamkos. I mean, they're not lighting the lamp. I mean, is Toronto underachieving? I think some would say they've lost six in a row and they fired their coach. Of course you'd say they're underachieving. I think the Sabres were underachieving when they went 2-7-2 or whatever it was. I mean, of course. Pittsburgh, are they underachieving? 14-9-4 without Crosby?
Sit the kids out. It's a big boy out of your lineup.
Carry on.
All right.
No, but answer the question, though. Like, You think the Atlantic's a strong division? I'm not asking you because I doubt that it is. I'm asking because I'm trying to make sense of this
I
all. Because
believe,
the Sabres,
I believe
who everybody thought were terrible a week ago, which I can say that, yeah, they weren't playing great hockey and their record indicated that, are in third place.
Yeah.
So tell me how a team can go from playing so poorly and then getting 5 points out of six, and then they're literally sitting in third spot in the Atlantic Division, ahead of the Leafs, ahead of the Canadiens, ahead of the Lightning, and ahead of the Blue Jackets. Senators, Devils, Red Wings are probably where we thought they'd be. Well, Devils maybe not. I actually expected more from the Devils, to be honest.
Okay.
Lot to take in there.
I just think that there's teams in the Atlantic that are underachieving. It is certainly a long season, and you need to be very wary of teams that have the firepower that some of these teams have. I don't think that they've played their best, and that's concerning moving forward because there's some teams that can turn it on and win 10 games in a row and not even think about twice about it. So I like the way the Sabres are playing. But I also look back to a week and 2 weeks ago where the sky was falling and we needed a change. We need a trade. We need this. We need that. We know we still have those holes in our lineup.
Isn't it better, though, that they're winning right
now?
Yeah,
it's always better when you win.
No.
You still have to.
And still look to improve? And still look to improve your roster?
Thank you. Okay, as long as you have that mindset.
Yeah, like I'm not looking back and saying, and I don't believe that Jason Botchell is either. But I think if when you're actively looking for a deal to make your team better, you're not going, oh, okay, now we're in third in the Atlantic. We're complacency. No, I don't believe that one bit. I don't believe that's the mindset. I believe they're still actively looking. But I'll say that I think it's better to be actively looking to improve your team when you're third in the division than if you had lost the last three games as well.
Yeah,
because then the optics of the trade look different.
It's harder. Just much harder to make trades when you're not playing well. It puts a lot more pressure on the GM. You know, when you're kind of even keel and things are, you know, you're not in a terrible position and haven't lost six or seven in a row. It's easier to make the trades when the team is doing well, because a lot of scouts come out. They like to, they want winners, not guys that are losing.
Richard has a great point here. And this is the point that I stress all the way along. He says the Sabres have to take care of business. I wouldn't word it like this just because of, you know, the competitiveness and all that stuff, but the Sabres have to take care of business against the NHL's bottom feeders, meaning the guys, the teams at the bottom of the standings, like they did in October. If they can do that, they have a really good shot at playoff hockey. And I agree with that.
Who's the bottom feeders?
Throw the standings back up there.
And Tampa Bay,
a
bottom
feeder? This is what I was saying at the start of the year. The teams that they were beating are the teams they need to beat to show progress. They are New Jersey, Detroit, Ottawa. I think Montreal's on that list. They beat Montreal here. Granted, no Carey Price, but they beat Montreal. Okay? I think the Lightning are obviously better than people think. They're not where they stand is not what they are. I think the Blue Jackets are games that you can win. They had that turn.
You have to understand how close this is, though. You're talking about bottom feeders. Montreal has 11 wins. We have 13. Ottawa Senators have 11 wins. We have 13.
Yeah.
Columbus Blue Jackets, 11 wins. Tampa Bay, 12 wins. They're only one. We have only one more win than Tampa Bay. They're not bottom feeders.
That's why I said I want to make clear.
There's no bottom feeders
in
this
league. No, but there are beatable teams. There are more beatable teams than others. I mean, we said so than others, and we said so yesterday.
Yeah.
The Devils yesterday, that would have been a very, very disappointing loss if the Sabres go out and play the way they did against Toronto and then come and lay an
egg
at home.
Dangerous team to play because they're desperate. They're desperate. The environment is of desperation, and when you play teams like that, you can do what the Sabres did last night. They took care of business. They were the team on the ice that took care of business. 5-0 after the first period. That's big boy hockey. Okay? But there's also another way
game
that that game
was over after 20.
It was over after 8 minutes. We were up 3-0 after 8 minutes.
No,
the game was
not
done.
With the comebacks that have happened this year, but 5-0, I was thinking if they blow this,
yeah,
they deserve to be on the ice at 5 a.m. this morning.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll give it to the Sabres. They've been pretty darn good defensively, I think, pretty solid, and they take care. They've got a really good defense core right now. All seven guys that are playing are really, really good, and you're getting great, great goaltending from Linus Allmark. I still have confidence in Carter Hutton, that's for damn sure. There's no question about it, but I think that we've got a good balance.
You have to have confidence, and we're going to need him.
No doubt. I mean,
this team is going to need.
There's no question about it.
Carter Hutton, for sure.
You know who needs Carter Hutton?
Linus Allmark.
Linus Allmark needs Carter Hutton. He's a calming influence. He's going to push Linus Allmark to be the best that he can be each and every game in practice, because Carter Hutton only knows one way, and that's to do things the best of his abilities. And that's going to push Linus Allmark.
Henry Jokiharju on the power play. Should he get more power play time? We'll do that in our buy-sell trade coming up on, or continue getting power play time. We'll do that in our buy-sell trade on the other side of the break. Instigators, hour number two. State of the Sabres. Start of December. Coming up.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, I have a tweet here that I want to read to you, Craig. He said, people say they aren't very good. He's referencing the Sabres. They aren't very good, but neither was Mini, Chicago, or Flames. I think he's actually talking about New Jersey. All three who beat us the prior week because of uninspired play. New Jersey also beat the Habs times two. I think they didn't they win them?
Yeah.
Didn't they beat them like 8-1 or something?
Yeah.
Good or not, Sabres came ready to play, and that needs to happen every game. But it seems we figured things out and the Sabres have looked sharper. If we keep playing this way, we will win a lot more games and see a lot more blowouts. I don't know about the blowouts, but I do agree with more inspired play. 100%. It's not like the ability's not there.
I would say.
I think this is perfectly stated.
It's not inspired play.
Uninspired
play. It's about consistency in this league. Every team can beat. So, like the Chicago Blackhawks right now are one of the lowest teams in the league. They can beat any team in the National Hockey League. I find that the teams that are sitting at the top are the ones that are the most consistent in the way that they played, the most detailed in their game plan, and they execute it each and every night. Every one of these guys works hard. It's whether you can stick to your plan with details and do what it takes to win hockey games. And it's consistency in the way that they work, the way that
they
play.
Work hard, but I think I think every one of them had a different gear in those games. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been through streaks where you collectively didn't have it. I mean, look at their schedule. I mean, you know, maybe they've been, you know, maybe they're a little more rejuvenated. Maybe there's something to that, but Someone here writes, you know, I love the fan interaction too, by the way, and we're supposed to be doing our buy-sell trade. We'll get to that. He writes, unpopular opinion. He's not talking about painting goalie helmets, I'm sure. I'm happy with the score, but is it too much to ask for a team to finish the way they start? They roared out of the gate and then took their foot off the gas. Why? I want to see a killer instinct 60 minutes. Am I alone? And then William responds, yeah, but did they take their foot off the gas, or did New Jersey pick it up in the third? Buffalo definitely did not stop skating in the game.
Come on, man.
I'm thinking the Devils just started playing better.
Come on.
Come on, what?
The game was 5-0 after
granted,
the first period.
I'm reading other people, so don't yell at me.
I'm yelling at him. Okay. What's his name?
Doesn't matter. You don't need to pick on him. Go ahead.
Well, I mean.
Let's call him.
Joe Blow. Okay, Joe Blow.
Joey. We'll call him Joey.
They didn't take their foot off the pedal. They were up 5-0. And the coaches understood that they could manage this game in a very positive way. So the way they started may not be quite the same as the way they finished, but you also had the ability, instead of playing Jack Eichel 23 minutes a night, he played 16 minutes last night. You didn't have to play Jack Eichel. You gave him rest. Jimmy Vesey played 1952.
That's another reason why the D didn't, why Risto didn't play
yes.
26 minutes. There's another
I mean, it's about managing the game. This coach knows that this game is locked in. It's sealed. Now I have the ability to rest my players, my big boy players that play a lot of minutes. Ristolainen played 17 minutes. He hasn't played 17 minutes in 6 years, but he did last night. And this is very good for the Sabres because they were allowed to play players that don't normally play as much. They got them more ice time. They gave less ice time to a Jack Eichel. Sam Reinhart played 15 and a half. You get the idea. These guys played less minutes, and this is a good thing for the team moving forward because there's such a difficult schedule. They play so many games and so many nights. This was a really good start. And they may not have played the game the same at the start as what they did at the end, but you didn't have the same players on the ice the entire game. This was a great game that the team came out extremely strong, and this coach was able to manage the top players' minutes.
It's a good way to head out west. We'll talk about that schedule that Craig was just referencing in State of the Sabres on the other side of the break in the second hour. Instigators coming up. Sports update first, State of the Sabres schedule, Jack Eichel's game, the whole shebang. Sabres coming up. Instigators.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.